Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Falcons Monday, a victory Monday. It's an excellent bounce back performance from the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. Lots of football to talk about over the next 3 hours. Some other stuff as well. Good morning to you, Randy. How are
What's happening, man? All good, Bunk. Glad to have you back up in the house, man. But yeah, you want to talk about a resounding response by a football team, an organization, quarterback, whatever you want to call it. That happened yesterday over at Mercedes-Benz. I think we kind of said it on Monday. They'll probably win this weekend.
I know.
Yeah, they'll probably
just
win.
Just knowing the league and the team.
Yeah, everything.
Not only that, I think you said something like they'll probably put up 31 on the Commanders. Close, 34.
Yeah, man. So yeah, it was a good afternoon over there. Obviously, the fans were in the house to see, you know, if their team could bounce back. Give credit to Raw, had his team ready to play from the get-go, and they were able to go out there and play a pretty clean game offense. They had a couple of ball on the ground too many times, one Bijan fumble, but heads up by Michael to get on the ball. Don't know where he was throwing the ball on the interception.
Yeah.
But other
than, I think he just short-armed.
Yeah.
Because the guy was there. He saw the guy.
He was behind him. Yeah. And so, but I thought just
I think
overall,
he just short-armed it a little.
Michael Penix played really good, though. Yep. I thought he really played good, and more importantly, they played better around him. Drake London, that's the dude that I'm expecting.
That's
right
the Drake
there.
We were talking about all summer.
Exactly. Yeah. That guy right there that was playing yesterday, they were able to get a shot down the field. They were able to get Kyle involved. They were able to run the football. And, I mean, are we still waiting on, what's his name? Oh, God, what's the swing tackle? The swing tackle, everybody's waiting to get back.
Oh, yeah, Storm Norton?
Yeah, right, we're still waiting on
We've
Storm.
We weathered the storm.
We weathered the storm. We weathered the storm because the
Elijah's playing pretty good.
The offensive line played really good, and he's playing pretty good also, man. And that damn number seven dude, I mean, just that touchdown run. Goodness gracious, man.
Yeah.
Like, he shakes ghosts. Mm-hmm. Like that, I mean, he was just the way he runs the football, the way he catches the football. I know they gave him the business for getting caught the way he did, but, you know, just an unbelievable football player.
Yeah, that's the – of all the stuff, I mean, the headline is that the Falcons bounce back resoundingly after what was one of the more embarrassing performances we've seen from them. I don't know. We'll obviously talk more about what happened yesterday and sort of going forward into the bye week and all that, but it does make what happened against the Panthers even more confusing. Yes. Like, how is the team capable of those two games back-to-back?
Yes.
I don't know. But I'm thankful that the more recent one is the one where they played well, and they showed a lot of the stuff that we talked about all summer expecting to see from this team. Like, here's the – to me, like, one of the – again, not to make – you can't make any excuse for what happened against Carolina. Like, no matter how this season goes from here, that'll stand as a very unusual and unacceptable performance. But that's one of the things that this team is going to – have to deal with is, we've talked about it all summer and for the first month of the season, is just being consistent in professional football in general is hard.
Yes.
Being consistent when 40% of your playmakers and quarterback and defense and all these are rookies or second year guys is almost impossible.
Yes.
So the wild swings from 30-0 against Carolina to putting up 34 against the Commanders and playing the way they played, it's going to kind of happen.
Yeah.
Like that's what this roster
is. You're absolutely correct about that.
It sucks because it's so frustrating to not really know the Jekyll and the Hyde of it. But, I mean, again, you got the good yesterday. The bounce back is the headline. Bijan Robinson is the lead character.
Yeah, that was a special
dude.
Special performance yesterday. And then also 16 carries with Tyler Allgeier. Mm-hmm. Remember, I think I might be more mad about that last week than anything.
You were very mad about one carry Tyler.
I was more mad about that, man. But when you look at what they do with Bijan, he's out split wide, running a little option route. Mike gets him the ball. Moody looked a lot better, man.
He looked like
I saw he went down with the hammy, but with the bye week, hopefully he doesn't miss any time. But, yeah, he looked like he was getting the groove. I keep telling you, Kyle is playing well. He's playing really, really well. And when they get him the football, because on the first corner, right, Michael puts it out there, Kyle's going to house that.
I know.
If he would put it out there, Kyle's going to house that. You know, but it was good to see him get in the end zone.
You could tell how much it meant to him.
Yeah.
When Pitt scored that touchdown, he spiked the ball and he screamed at the ceiling. Like that was a lot of frustration coming out right there.
Getting
and then
the touchdown to Drake. I mean, he let it go before Drake turned around. Just all of that was just excellent. More importantly, they weren't rushed. the play clock wasn't, they weren't up against the play clock that much in the game.
They were out of the huddle with 20 seconds, 15 seconds left on the clock repeatedly.
I mean, it's great. I mean, yeah, and I know the story is, well, Zach's down on the field, that's fine.
Sure.
Whatever.
Sure. If that's what it was,
they
that's
have
their
best day as receivers because of the new, fine. Hey, whatever.
Now, just correct me if I'm wrong.
Whatever.
He's still calling the plays in through the headset into the head, helmet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe it's.
Whether he's up there.
It's long distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're too far.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it's too far. Whatever.
Okay.
Man.
Whatever.
I don't care either. It don't even matter.
If that's what it took
in
order for that performance to take place, great. Here, the thing is, now the standard is sort of, I know you're not going to do 34 every single week, but you can see what these guys are capable of against a pretty solid team. I know they're without their quarterback, obviously, and Mariota showed up pretty clearly at different times during that game in a way that you would expect him to, for good and bad. I mean, obviously, he ran the ball a little bit, threw an interception, all that, but that now is the high water mark. You set the rock bottom floor the week before. Now you go out and put 34 out there, and like you said, really look under control. Really, you know, a couple really impressive sustained drives, especially at the end to just take the air out of the ball and seal the thing away against the Commanders. And 34-27 is a one score game, but Falcons
controlled the game. Yeah, they controlled the game, Buck. And it's just to me, it just shows me the capability of what this team can be. This offense, I thought defense was okay. You know, they gave up the little sneaky run to Chris Rodriguez that let him out of there, and obviously it was a miscommunication on the second touchdown pass to McCaffrey. It looked like, but I thought just, you know, overall, I mean, I can't say enough about Caden Ellis. Man, this kid is a hell of a ball player, man. He is. And then watching other guys that we've been waiting, like Zach Harrison. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on this kid to go play.
Had a nice start
and
to the year.
He's been playing really good, Bunk. Dorlis is still playing well. You saw a great tackle for loss by Jalen on the edge on third down. You know, don't like that they gave up 27 Marcus Mariota, but at the same time, Xavier Watts, and you saw him come back in the game after getting his bell rung a little bit on that kickoff or whatever. But yeah, you saw some moments between those guys. Those young DBs had some young moments also, but yet they were able to bounce back. And just, you know, I didn't listen to Ross, saw the quote that he said, this is for our fans. It damn sure was.
Yeah.
These Falcon fans that we love, they needed that right there because it was an embarrassing freaking week last week.
Yeah,
it really, really was. And then for them to go and be able to smile and have a good time today because their football team played really, really good yesterday.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's extra layers to it too. We know how frustrating it would be to see Dan Quinn over there pumping his fist, smiling on the sideline.
What was that? Our last key? No game balls?
Yeah, no game balls.
No game balls.
Now, Penix got one, and that's what you needed.
Yes.
That's what you need. You need your guys having performances like that.
Yes.
You know what it would have been if Mariota could have come up with a play here or there. And look, even as well as they played and as much as they dominated, when they went for two and they made the field goals, that's right, Parker Romo, you get to live one more week. but they go for two. We were driving back from North Carolina, so caught all of it on the radio and then watched back last night. But they go for two and they score that touchdown, or they come within one score, and West Durham said exactly what we were all thinking. All of a sudden, like, as well as they played, all of a sudden, it's a one-score game, and then that's when the Falcons went on that great long drive, threw the ball all over the place, and again, like, anytime they needed it, hand the ball to Bijan.
Yeah, man.
Hand the ball to Bijan.
He's just going to find a crease. He's going to, you know, be patient and everything. I always give a shout-out to 89, man, who was, again, just being a rough dude. Just being a rough ride up in that thing, man. Charlie was –
I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. I think I know what your answer to it is anyway. But so now we kind of know, right? Yeah. Like that two out of 3 weeks.
You would think so.
The more he plays, the more they run, the more they spread the runs out between the two.
You would think so.
The better the game goes.
You would think so.
And then you kind of completely go away from it against Carolina, and it's one of the disaster performances.
You would think so.
Yeah, let's have Charlie Warner on the field.
Yeah.
Let's hand the ball to Algier and to Bijan, and let's sort of go from there. I think everybody benefits from all of that.
Let's just do
that.
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's just keep
we're on the same page on that one?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get much pushback from anyone on that one.
But I mean, Victory Monday, going into a bye week is even better, man. It really, really is, knowing that, you know, the first quarter of the season, I know it's 17 games now, but usually you count the first four is the first quarter. You've broken even, and you could possibly, if things did go the way they did, you could possibly be 3-1.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of signs of
growth.
Growth.
Yes.
There's a lot of reasons for optimism. Yes. It feels really good to say that 7 days removed from the word optimism not even being in the vocabulary.
It was a disaster. It was a disaster.
So really impressive bounce back there, too. And, I mean, you could see what it meant to Penix. I mean, if you heard some of what he said to Arch after the game. And it wasn't so much about answering critics or any nonsense conversation about a quarterback controversy, quote unquote. He said it was about just answering his own questions.
That's it.
Like, all right, just got to remind myself that I'm good enough to do this, that I belong here, that I'm that type of guy.
Exactly.
And a performance like that had to do that for him because, again, he just looked really sharp. 20 of 26. Again, that one throw. That one, well, there was a couple bad throws, but obviously the one interception, he'd love to have that one back. Ultimately, it didn't come back to bite him. But that's the guy that we are all hoping to see on a Sunday in, Sunday out basis. And you got it yesterday, and it led all the way to a win. And like you said, 2-2 now headed into the bye. 15 days off because they don't play till Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And the Bills come to town who are quite good.
They are very good. They are very good. Now I know we'll talk more about them in the NFL No Huddle. They got up to a slow, sluggish start against the Saints, man. The Saints were game yesterday until they tried to run New Orleans special.
I think the Bills are kind of in that weird mode of like...
Tried to run damn Philly special.
Because they beat... Who did the Bills beat in week 3 where they kind of... Oh, the Dolphins.
Yes.
Where it's like... They won, and they won by 10, but it was almost just like going through the motions a little bit.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're a good team, man. Very good team. All right. First segment in the books. This hour is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back. We'll let you hear a little bit more highlight-wise and post-game audio-wise from the Falcons win yesterday. Crazy day on Saturday in college football. Obviously, we will talk about that as well. So thanks for being with us. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ball at the Commander 14 and a three-point lead. Penix will bring London through the formation to the left. Hand it to Robinson. Bijan bounces inside the 10. Keeps his feet at the 5. Spins into the end zone. Touchdown Atlanta. What a run.
Mr. Robinson.
14 yards and the first rushing score of the year for Bijan Robinson.
I think Zach in the first half, at halftime, he was like, bro, like, I should have always been on the sideline. Like, and I was like, man, I agree. Because it's bigger than just like him being up there. Like, but like, we can communicate with him. We can tell him how we feel, tell him what we see, and he can tell us what he sees. And, you know, that's even me, like, on some of those route plays. And I was like, yo, Zach, like, how do you think I should attack this kind of zone or attack this kind of man? And he told me exactly how he saw it, and that's how we did it. And it worked out perfectly. So, you know, it's really beneficial, I feel like.
It helps. It does. It does. As we mentioned last week, you know, you get an opportunity to actually sit there and talk to him instead of having to pick up the phone and call up there or something like that. And if that's the case, fine.
Great.
Yep. Stay there.
If they average 34 points a game when Zach Robinson's on the sideline.
Exactly. Stay there.
So stay there.
Yep. Stay there until you don't have to.
Yeah. He scored 0 points the week before when he was
up
in the booth. So there you go.
Yeah. So just, you know, stay right there.
Where do you think Ike Hilliard watched that game at?
Oh, man. At the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bottle of something, probably.
Probably. But all right.
Cussing him a little bit, but also proud of him.
But I like Ike. So
of course.
Yeah, I like Ike. So I ain't gonna talk and say nothing about my man.
I'm not saying anything about
him. No,
I'm just wondering where he's watching
him. That was the narrative, though. Oh, see, they got rid of Ike and everything's working out.
Yeah, that's so silly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that to my man.
I just wonder, like, Ike and Youngway sitting somewhere.
Well, Youngway's in New York.
Oh, Youngway plays, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Youngway kicked yesterday, matter of fact.
Wait, did he really?
Yeah, because kicker got hurt. I think they said Youngway was kicking yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Or at least he will.
Or at least he will. Whatever.
Anyway.
They call somebody else up. Damn, Youngway. Damn, homie.
Well, anywho,
yeah.
Bijan Robinson was fantastic yesterday. 17 carries, 75 yards. That touchdown you just heard, that was insane. I don't ever get to do this. Usually you do one or the other.
Right.
I got to listen to the whole radio call driving home and then got to watch the game last night on DVR. So heard Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt. What a duo.
Yeah,
like, what a nice duo.
I didn't know where the game was going to be at.
Yeah,
I was like,
CBS.
Where the hell are they playing? Oh, they're on CBS, not Fox.
Right, it's a new world now
with
no allegiance conference.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I thought J.J. did a really good job, man. I thought that, you know, just, you know, it, you know, because we here in Atlanta, we usually get the Vilma, you know.
Or worse. Last week was worse.
Who was the guy last week?
I don't even remember.
Oh, but anyways.
Oh, Matt Millen.
Oh, the old general manager of the
Lions who went on 16.
I didn't know he was still calling game.
Nobody did.
Yeah.
We found out last Sunday.
but yeah. Anyway,
I don't even think he knew he was supposed to call that game.
But you're two and two with one of the worst losses I've seen this team have outside of the one in Houston. But I thought that, you know, they were able to just bounce back. And to me, it shows what kind of football character they have. And I mean, meaning, you know, they could have I'm not saying they're win or lose their next game, but just the way they bounce back and the sharpness, you could tell practice they were all dialed in. I mean, because I'm telling you, that Monday morning film session at the Carolina was not pretty and it was not nice. And it's one of those things where you don't need your coach to say any damn thing. Mm-hmm. You got to look yourself in your mirror and say, damn, I got to get better. Mm-hmm. And it started with number 9, and he played like he looked himself in the mirror. It's like, damn, I got to get better. Drake London, hey, this team needs me. I'm the number one guy here.
Yeah.
I'm the number one guy here. And Drake London played like the number one guy.
It was very clear that Drake London was just a little bit more amped up for this one, like obviously coming off of what happened.
Yes.
And just a start to the season for him, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I know he got banged up in the first week and probably wasn't himself in the second game, maybe even the third game, but just the fire on some of those catches that he was making. Obviously, the big one on the sideline where he was so amped up when he got up. The touchdown that he caught, like, you could just tell there was a little bit more in it coming off of that loss to Carolina. Because, look, they're better than Carolina.
Yes.
But if that's the lesson that they needed to learn, that you can be better than the team, but if you show up, whatever it is, unprepared or whatever,
right,
you can get smacked around.
Yes.
Even by one of the worst teams in the NFL, which is what I think the Panthers are.
Ra had his team ready.
Yeah.
They were ready to play from the opening whistle. They were dialed in, man. They were dialed in. And I think the emphasis more than anything, they said they wanted to be a running team, right? They wanted to base everything off the run.
Yeah.
They did yesterday.
Don't tell us what
Show us what your identity is. Where we're going to run the ball, 35 carries for the team. So obviously, Bijan 17, Tyler 16.
Hey, and that touchdown Algiers scored, too.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Man, he trucked that dude.
It was nice, dude. It was nice, man. But, yeah, great way to bounce back. Like we said, going into a bye week was the most important thing. Going into a bye week with a win, with the ability, you know, because, you know, to be able to get some guys back. We talked about it earlier. So Moody got hurt, hammy in the game. But with the bye week, 15 days, he should be ready for that Monday night game against Buffalo.
At home. Yeah. It's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully, Moody, unfortunately, has just really dealt with it
this year and last year. He missed all the camp, man.
And that was part of the story in Chicago, too. Like, he would, you know, he'd get banged up here and there. So hopefully he can get right by then. We will spend the entire segment in 10 minutes from right now talking about the college football Saturday. We'll let you hear from Kirby in that segment, obviously. Wild day. Wild day of college football. Bunch of fun ones. Obviously, Georgia comes down to the end against Alabama, 24-21. And again, we'll get more into it in 10 minutes, but thought or two.
Oh, man. You know what? And you know I love my boxing. You know me, and I love my boxing.
You love what?
Boxing.
Oh. Okay.
You know I love boxing.
Okay. I thought you said box.
What?
That's what I thought you said.
But I think we counterpunch too much when we play Alabama.
Mm. Good way to put it.
We counterpunch. We don't. When we make adjustments, we're fine, but we don't come in with the mindset of things when we play this team. It was a great game, another classic and everything like that. I know it's a lot of angst on the fourth down play. I would have took the points. First of all, I thought Gunner had the first down.
It looked like he did.
Yeah, I thought Gunner had the first down. But if they block it, Cash walks in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, to me, that play right there, more than almost any other play in the game, is a sign of Georgia now versus Georgia 2, 3, 4 years ago. Because now those guys are freshmen.
Yes.
The right tackle and right guard, those are freshmen. And they're trying to block NFL players.
Yes.
And LJ Overton comes through. He's a great player. He's going to play in the league next year. Yes, he is. 3 years ago, those would have been juniors and seniors, mm-hmm. guys that also would have been in the NFL next year too.
Yep.
And they probably do block it. And Cash does walk into the end zone and score that touchdown. The play, you look at the formation that Alabama was in. Like, the play was great.
There was nobody there.
Nobody was there.
Yeah.
He gets around, but again, you know, a better player made the play because it's going up against young guys, and young guys just weren't ready for that moment, and it is what it is.
Yeah, like, man.
That's what it is right now. Mm-hmm. Instead of having seasoned depth veterans over there,
you got youth because you have to. And you have
to,
and they make the play, you know, Cash walks in. But, it just goes back, you know, we got a Bama problem. With Georgia, we got a Bama problem. I go back to when they beat us in the SEC championship game. I said, if we play them again, they won't beat us. They won't beat us again this year. And I'm pretty sure I have a good feeling that we're going to play Alabama again. But give them credit, man. I mean, Ty Simpson was great. Mm-hmm. He was great. We could not get off the field on third down to save our damn life. You know,
oh, they were seven of their first seven.
I mean,
crazy.
Just unbelievable.
13 third down conversions. That's the most a Kirby team's ever given up.
Yeah, man. I mean, I give Bama all the credit, man, because they were able to go out there and they made plays when they needed to. Obviously, you know, the big drop by the freshman. I mean, it's a big drop, son. You got to make the play,
gotta
son.
Make the play.
You got to make that play, man. And you know, you get out there and you get an opportunity, you know, to go out there. I love me some Nate Frazier. I do. I really love this kid, man. Yeah. I can't let him run the ball, man.
Nope, neither could Kirby.
I can't. I can't trust that. Yep. You know, and I know he's going to get opportunities again and everything because it's so damn good. Sure. But you can't lose the ball at the rate and at the pace that he does.
Well, and especially when you got guys like Chauncey Bowens, you give him
that,
the opportunity.
Toting the hell out of
it. He's
ball.
Averaging 10 yards a carry.
Toting
and he's
the hell
the
out of it. Toting
so,
the hell out of it.
All right, we'll get back into all of that. There's a lot more to say about that game. Georgia Tech obviously wins a thriller.
Ooh,
I mean, just
boy.
A crazy game.
It was crazy,
game.
Andy, because I think it was Thursday. I was like, man, Tech going up to Winston-Salem, noon game.
Trap game.
I was like, no, I said, be careful. I was like, nah, Coach Key ain't going to let them be. And they, hey, man, give the Demon Deacons,
they
props,
they
man. They played their ass off. But, yeah, Tech was able to find a way to win that thing. And, again, Haynes King, put him in the Heisman Trophy candidate.
Put him in there.
Put him in the Heisman conversation.
Yeah, put him in there.
Put him in the conversation.
End-of-the-year stats might not be as good as some of the other guys, but just there's –
the importance.
It's a short list of players in the country that have an impact on their team the way he does.
And put Haynes King in the Heisman.
He might be the most important player in the country to his team. Hey, let's hear this because this is a cool moment yesterday. It's the Braves season came to an end. Shout out to Charlie Morton.
2-2. He struck him out!
What a good Charlie!
And he did it with a curveball. Brian Snitker is going to come and get him. This very well could be the end of the road for Charlie Morton. And what a ride it has been. We will let Truist Park tell the rest of the story.
Way to go, Charlie.
Very cool.
Yeah,
way to go,
man. Very cool.
His last performance could have been getting shelled by the Braves.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead, the Braves pick him up. They give him that, you know, one and a third. Final day of the season, he gets that strikeout. They pull him out. Place goes nuts. His whole family's there.
I loved it. I didn't watch the game, but I saw that video.
Hey, they won.
And they won. I saw Ron Acuña, Homer, and everything like that.
Yep.
But just the fact is that Charlie was able to go out the way he did with the team that drafted him after being shelled by the team that drafted him. It was unbelievable, man. And just happy that, you know, he got the send off the way he did. And also the Braves end the season.
That whole tribute was about 10 minutes long.
They showed
a video up on the board in the World Series and his speech after the World Series and the game one start.
Yeah.
And his family was out there at the dugout. He came out for two curtain calls. Everybody was on their feet. Literally clapping for like 10 minutes. It was a famous.
Well, he's just such a great
classy
dude.
Classy move by the Braves.
Very classy. And
especially
again,
after we kind of got him fired.
Oh, yeah. And then then I saw the Mets. Well,
yeah, they did.
My man Pete Alonso said, I'm out.
Yeah. Again, I know it doesn't fix what the Braves season was, but it feels a little better.
It feels a little better. It's funny as hell. He said, I'm out.
Yeah, you get to have a chuckle. Doesn't it feel good to chuckle a little bit at the Mets' expense? LOL Mets. Speaking of chuckles. It's about what you got from the American Ryder Cup team. What a joke. Crap performance by the players and the fans up there at Bethpage. So, well done. Well done, everyone. We'll come back and talk college football. We'll get back into the Georgia-Alabama game. Man, Penn State.
Oh.
Feel bad for Conte, man. That's a tough one. Almost. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Boom, 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 boom.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning, a victory Monday for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get back into the ins and outs of that win, 34-27 against Washington yesterday. We'll get into that in about 20 minutes in the NFL No Huddle. As we always do on Mondays, we'll spend about 45 minutes, first 45 minutes of the noon hour, talking about all the games from over the weekend in the National Football League. One more game tonight as well. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course. Atlanta Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. But it was a crazy Saturday, too.
Yeah, man.
Really, a bunch of great matchups. I know we'd been looking forward to all of the ranked matchups, all of the talented teams, undefeated teams, traveling to different places this Saturday, and it lived up to it.
It started Friday night.
It did, yeah.
It started Friday. Going up to Charlottesville. Friday night games on the road, underdog. I mean, yeah. favorites on the road on yep. Friday night. It's always a damn classic.
Yeah.
And there was nothing different about that. Florida State obviously goes up there, gets beat by Virginia. I ain't never seen a crowd rush the field that damn fast.
It was, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, whoa, somebody gonna get hurt, dude. Yep. I mean, that was just unbelievable. But, yeah, but so.
Yeah, shout out to Castellanos for keeping
his damn cool, yeah. man. Because not a lot of people would have, again, I've seen it. So I know that stuff can get a little emotional. You're just coming off of a game.
I mean, Squirrel White, you know, he's on the ground. Literally 2 seconds later, yeah. he's engulfed in a crowd.
Yes.
It sounds like everybody's okay.
Right.
So luckily.
Right.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was great games. I mean, we were talking about, Georgia just can't get over that Bama hump, man. You got to keep giving Bama their credit. No matter who's coaching, we can't beat them. We have beaten them in one of the most important games in Georgia history. But at the same time, you know, not so much worried about the home winning streak and all that crap. That was going to come to an end eventually. But just the way that you just, like I said, sit back and counterpunch against them. Instead of just going out there and start throwing haymakers from the get-go, man. And I give Bama credit. They had a great plan, especially third down plan. Mm-hmm. You got some issues, man, with that number one. As talented of a player as he is, Andy, he is very talented. He just don't get on my damn nerves. Like, you know, why jump on the pile? What the hell's going through your mind, boy? You know, the corner, you give up the – I mean, that was the first touchdown, like no resistance at all. Just beat you on the inside slant, you know. So, I mean, there was all kind of reasons why Georgia lost this game. But more importantly, I give Bama credit because Bama was executing. We couldn't get off the damn field. And then when we were getting off the field, it was just one of those things where, what are we waiting on? Why did it take so damn long? I know the 4th-and-1, I would have took the points.
Oh, me too.
I would have took the points. Yeah. I'm not excusing Kirby for that. I would have took the points. But if you block the damn play, Cash walks in the end zone.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, I mean, everyone was waiting for Kirby's explanation after the game as to what he would say about it. Here is what he said Saturday night about that 4th-and-1 call.
I do that 10 out of 10 times in terms of going for it. The decision is whether you go for it with tempo or not. And we felt like tempo had been really good for us throughout the year.
Yeah, and I mean, he went on into greater depth about the play call, and it's something that they've done in the early part of the season. It's at least a type of decision that they made a number of times against Tennessee, and it worked out. It's a type of decision they made earlier in the game against Alabama, and it worked out. And I know, you know, a lot of the I think maybe if you're just watching the clips of the game or something, a lot of people like wondering and frustrated at Cash Jones. Well, it was the same players. They went fast. Yeah. It was all the guys that were out there for third down.
They didn't sub anybody in.
He was in on third down, and he's always in on third down.
He's a third down back.
Yeah. And he's a really good blocker, and he catches the ball out of the backfield. And third down was a keeper to Stockton to try to pick up the 3 yards, and he damn near did.
I thought he did.
It looked like he did when he cut the ball back upfield and lunged for the first down. Ultimately, he didn't, and they made the decision. And again, go back and look at it. They got the look they wanted.
Yes.
They got exactly what they wanted with almost no one on the right side of that defense. Bama player is just a great player, man.
He made a great play.
Blew up the line and made a great play.
He made a great play. And that's what we talk about. You were saying tempo. Well, those kids are young. And they just, I mean, but they block it. They block it. He walks in and we're not having this discussion. But, it's still a long way to go. And I would have said that if Georgia had won, you know. But we're going to see them down the road. Got to get ready for this weekend. Noon game against Kentucky. I think it's homecoming that weekend. I think that's what Jay was telling me. But, yeah, just see how to bounce back. 12 more minutes of possession than we did. They possessed the ball, especially that damn first half, the first quarter.
Yep.
You know, and so you weren't able – because you weren't able to get off the field on third down. I thought Gunner played – he was fine when he had his opportunities. He was fine. The way they ran the football is what you want to do at Georgia, 200 yards rushing, but it's still that damn elephant, literally.
Literally.
That sits there on your chest, and you can't get him off, man. And until you do, when they play again next year, it'll be the same. It'll be the graphic. It'll just add one more loss.
Right.
For Kirby, 1-7.
Well, because you thought you could get the clean break of like, it wasn't the Bama thing, it was the Saban thing.
No, it's the Bama thing.
It's a Bama thing.
Yep, it's a Bama thing.
It's a Bama thing. And that now he's done it 2 times in a row. That, by the way, and I said this last year when Alabama beat Georgia, I said, welcome to the Kalen DeBoer experience. That's what it is. Great game plan, punches the team in the face early. Hangs on for dear life.
Right.
They didn't score in the second half.
I know.
I mean,
that's
what a lot of their wins are. I don't know how he does it time and time again, but he does it.
That's why I said counter punches. We'll wait to make adjustments at the halftime. Again, don't score no points after half, you know, for Alabama, because Kirby and Schumann and these guys went in there and they made adjustments. And that's the irritating part about it is Why can't we start like that, especially against them?
Right.
We do the same thing in Tennessee.
Same thing.
Same thing. Like, I understand adjustments and everything like that, and there's nobody better in America than making second-half defensive adjustments than Georgia. You see it all the damn time because they're never out of a game. Mm-hmm. They always start coming back. They did it in Texas. They did it in Tennessee. They do it all the time.
Alabama,
they did it
in Alabama last year. Alabama
they
Saturday.
They do it.
Yep.
But just come out a
but
little
bit. But it's a lot to ask.
It is.
It's a lot to ask.
It is. But
even the most talented teams and the best at adjusting and all that kind of stuff, you get down 14 or whatever the score may be. Alabama last year was like 20-something. You put yourself in a hole like that. It takes an extra special performance to come back. And here's the thing about it. Alabama's good, too. Yes. They have a lot of really good players as well.
Yes, they do.
And I also think, you know, we talked about that fourth down play call being really kind of representative of the difference right now for Georgia versus the past. Those are both young players over there, whereas in the past they would have been veterans and they probably would have made the block and they probably would have scored and they probably would have won. That's the roster. That's also college football.
Yeah.
And Georgia-Alabama Saturday, Georgia-Tennessee the game before that, that's college football right now too. Like, the best teams in conferences are going to play games like that.
Uh-huh.
Penn State and Oregon did on Saturday night. Georgia has now 2 weeks in a row. It's just whoever makes the least mistakes down the stretch probably
coaching
is going to win.
Everything.
And you got to win one score games. Like
if
you're going to only lose two games in the SEC or the Big Ten right now, unless you're a juggernaut and there aren't any, then you're going to have to win one score games repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you go and then, you know, you can talk about that Penn State game. I mean, give them credit. They fought.
I will.
They fought back.
Yeah.
They did. It came up short.
It was 17-3, and it looked like it was about to be a disaster.
Yes, it did. It did. And give Penn State and Coach Franklin his, you know, his flowers. As we said, Kirby got a Bama problem. Because Coach Franklin doesn't have everyone problem. Because he's such a good coach. But he is like if you fire him, you know what I mean? Like, is there no? And I'm going to say this because I watched the Lane Kiffin thing yesterday morning. They had like an E60.
Oh, yeah. I saw parts of
that. Yeah, I watched it yesterday. And I said this on Friday about him and this whole Florida thing. And then I went and I watched a lot of their game against LSU. That dude can coach his ass off.
He's a really good coach.
And to come from what he came from, because he was a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it what it was. He was a damn young Wonder Boy, they call him Wonder Boy, smart as hell, but he's a damn dork. And got himself together and all the demons and whatever. Oh, hell yeah, if I'm Florida, I'm trying to get him.
Yeah.
That's a huge
upgrade.
That man can damn coach some ball.
Upgrade.
And he got a good squad right there going with the backup, I guess the backup quarterback.
Not anymore. He's not.
Not anymore.
He's not backup anymore.
Not to beat
He's
to
like
be
the
LSU.
Story of the year in college football.
Yeah, man. But I think, it's a great game. We already mentioned Tech. I mean, how's Haynes King not nice? I mean, you look, this dude, 28 of 42. They were for 243, a touchdown. 21 carries, 106 yards, two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this dude wheeled this team back because they were playing like trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I said this to Abe on Friday, they got to stop turning the damn ball over. That's going to be Tech's downfall right there. They turn the ball, they always turn it over going in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're always going in for the score, and they turn the ball or had a turnover on that. Like, if they can cut that out, because I was like, well, he's not going to allow this team to be flat. Boy, they were flatlined. But I think the biggest thing was that play before the half, because I thought Robbie Ashford fumbled the ball,
mm-hmm.
but they gave it back to Tech. I mean, they gave it back to Wake and get the field goal and all those things. He can play when he's streaky, but other than that, he goes down in the game. So obviously, you lose your starting quarterback. But give Tech all the credit because I mean, they battled, they fought, they clawed their way back into it. And they were able to get a big-time stop at the end.
Yeah, and I just think, too, like, yeah, Haynes King can do that. You don't want to have to ask him to do it every single Saturday, you know?
He might have
because
to,
at some point, you're going to be playing a slightly better team than Wake Forest, and he might not be able to come all the way back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's like, their one. That's their one, it seems
hopefully.
Like. Hopefully. Hopefully that's their one right hopefully. There. Hopefully it's that's their one. But, I mean.
But I want to go back to the Oregon-Penn State game just for a minute because, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think that Penn State deserves credit for when Oregon scored that second touchdown to go up 17-3 and they're chanting fire Franklin in the stadium.
Yep.
Like the whiteout turns into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drew Aller and that offense lead back-to-back drives and they were sustained drives. Mm-hmm. They had to score with I don't know how much time left at the end of the fourth quarter just to send it to overtime. And then they scored in overtime.
Yep.
They took the lead, man. Like they were down 17-3 and then they were up 24-17 now again. Oregon scores and then immediately scores again. It's crazy how often it seems like a team scores on their first play in overtime.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about being at the 25 versus the 15 whatever.
Right, right.
But that first play in overtime, because it happened in the Tennessee game when they beat Mississippi State on Saturday, which was crazy.
What a great game.
That was a crazy
What a great game. I was watching that coach's show on Netflix, one of the SEC coaches' show. I like their coach, Mississippi State.
Yeah, Levy's a good coach.
I like him, and I like that he's got them playing well, too. Yeah. And they should have won that damn game.
They should have won that damn Both of those teams had opportunities in the fourth quarter to kind of, you know, make it a little bit less stressful, but they kept making mistakes. But, Tennessee ends up winning 41-34 in that one. The difference to me, and I'm not super surprised by this because it's been the difference in a number of Penn State big games, is Aller just is mistake prone.
Yep.
Like you get Aller,
he's gonna make one.
You get him in a really big moment, and he's gonna. And Dante Moore, I know probably not a lot of people know that much about him, given that he played at UCLA and then sat out. He's one of the best quarterbacks.
That young boy. Young boy can play.
It's disgusting for these words to come out of my mouth, so I'm going to say them one more time.
Okay.
He's the best quarterback Dan Lanning's had there, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he's had good teams and good quarterbacks and all that.
Right.
They can win against. They can be.
They are legit title contender.
Yuck.
They are a legit title contending team. That was a.
They'll blow it.
That was a that's a big win for them to be able to go into that atmosphere, that whiteout, and play the way they played, and him to play the way he played, because it was a thing of we know he's good. He never been there. Oregon's been there.
Yeah,
he has never been there.
And he was the most poised player on either team.
He was unbelievable, Andy. Yep. Running and throwing the football.
And everybody kind of knew this was going to happen, but something we talked about two summers ago, don't let it end like this. It ended like that. Bobby Petrino is back in charge.
Dude.
In Arkansas, after the Razorbacks got embarrassed by Notre Dame.
I was watching the game, and Corey, my best friend Corey texts me. He's like, they fired a coach. I was like, they ain't going to let old boy be the interim head coach. And then, damn it, and he said, yep, it's him. I was like, of all, like, what's a full circle moment, or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
Him being the head coach in Arkansas after he embarrassed this program and himself. And all I was looking for yesterday was the photo. That's all I wanted to
know. Oh, it was everywhere.
Yeah, I wanted to see
the photo. But they put it on Sam Pittman, though.
Yes, and that was wrong.
They put the neck brace and the skids on
Pittman.
That
was wrong.
Yeah,
that was not nice. That was wrong.
It's a little funny.
But, I mean, this dude, you could tell that he was going to get that job. He done fired the whole defensive staff.
Yeah. He was working on that one. He was taking notes in the background. Well, I'm going to fire him.
This dude fired the whole defensive staff this morning.
As soon as this is my gig, I'm firing him.
Yep.
You took my parking spot. I'm going to fire you.
Dude, the whole damn staff.
You got the last cup of coffee. I'm going to fire you in a couple weeks when I'm in charge. And here's the other thing that's about to happen, because Arkansas has talent.
And they're going to win.
They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games left. But good Lord, look at this schedule.
Yep.
Tennessee.
Yep.
A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, LSU, Texas, and Missouri.
Okay, they're not going to win any more
games. They're probably not going to win that many more games.
That game against Notre Dame was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
It was an embarrassment.
They weren't ready to play.
They were not ready to play.
Also, Notre Dame's really good.
Yes, they are.
I know Notre Dame lost their first two games, but they were close games against good teams.
They said combined 4 points, I think it was, man. But Sports Radio 99 The Game is your home for college football coverage in Atlanta. Starting this Saturday, because they started my favorite show, College Football Game Time, brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com and Alumni Hall, shop UGA and all the other. It's got their fan shop with Chris Goforth, John Fricke, Abe, and Garrett Chapman. They will set the stage for the big matchups. Then at 11:30, it's a doubleheader. We'll have Clemson versus North Carolina, followed by Texas at Florida. That's this Saturday starting at 8 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can I say one positive thing about Ohio State and Washington?
I'm here.
It was really fun having Brad Nessler on the call.
The atmosphere was crazy.
Of course. Of course it was.
Crazy.
But, yeah, we just, you know, atmospheres and broadcasters.
It's not good as them.
No, we're not as good as them. We're not. Pretty talented team, but I don't know. Still not sold on that coach. Everybody tells me it's great. Maybe someday he'll show me how. But that was, Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson on that game. That was really, really fun. That was very special. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.